So welcome, Marion, back to Adelaide Chronicles.
Good, thank you.
And we're doing this recording here in your beautiful house that's on the Kaurna land. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be talking about the Southwest Community Centre, which has now moved. Is that right?
Indeed it has.
Yes.
Temporarily to this site.
Temporarily?
Well, because council is still committed to finding a building on the western side of Morford Street, buy it and make it a permanent community centre. Or if really no such building becomes available, they will find a property to lease and again make it on the western side, because that western side of Morford Street really has no services or foci of interest for people to gather. Yeah.
So how long were you in the street place?
From 2005, July 12th. And then moved here at the beginning of this year. Well, if you like, 10th of January, the centre reopened, and may be there as long as a year in the Minor Works Building on Sturt Street, which is a council-owned building.
Mm.
So there's lots of reasons why that makes good sense, but the building is not ideal. However, you can live with that. But really, why we've argued as a community is that we keep something on the western side. And that's in any city, however large or small. It's hard to get foci of interest across the whole geographic area. And one of my things in life is trying to understand how geographic communities work.
Mm.
And particularly in this age of becoming increasingly more online-based in whatever format people choose, it's become harder for people to remain connected in a sense to their next-door neighbour or the person across the street or around the corner. And it takes me back to thinking about, it was really in the 1970s that Whitlam allocated funds at a Commonwealth level for neighbourhood houses to be set up. And I think that was the term that we used more frequently then. The community centres was mentioned fairly soon thereafter, but neighbourhood houses were seen as places where at least some people could come together because they were becoming more and more disconnected from their families. People were becoming better off, or transport was improving, so they were prepared to move further afield. They were prepared, you know, to visit the family not every day or week or whatever, but at longer time spans in between. Likewise with their work, they were prepared to hop on the train or the bus, be out all day, come back late. Really, they weren't connecting with the neighbours.
Mm.
Perhaps there were still more one-worker households, so more likely the wife was at home. If they did have a car, the car was gone.
Mm.
Anyway, life was changing,
mm.
and it was to do with the way we moved around. And so neighbourhood houses were seen as at least a place of connection in a local community. And they varied greatly as to what their focus was. And I always liked that about that, because it really was responding to what people in that local area said they needed.
So they were just houses though, weren't they? They weren't big spaces for people to do things together so much.
No, in the main, certainly I was in Sydney then, which is where I grew up, but in the main they were houses, and some were big houses and all that, and they did have little group programs, but they were small groups, and they were, you dropped in and hoped you'd run into someone and you'd sit and have a coffee with them in the kitchen, and then you'd talk to someone else about a problem you had. And it might be that in a particular place some services ended up being provided, so that maybe someone from the employment bureau would come there once a week or once a month, or but it again, it did very much depend on the nature of that community. You know, have coffee chat mornings, or they might organise little groups to go to somewhere together rather than on their own. Oh, and they were looked after by small local communities. and they were called management committees, and they didn't have huge amounts of responsibility because there was not huge amounts of money involved, and it was a simpler world. But, you know, everything becomes more complex. And then I noticed that council started thinking, oh, this could be good for us. We could get some federal money and start setting them up. And I think then the language community centre became more popular. They started getting purpose-built ones because they started seeing it as, oh, we could run big classes and we could have some charges and we could get some money back from that as well. So there were neighbourhood houses, there were community centres, there were some run by management committees, some by councils, and gradually the shift went, really, most of them went to councils because the requirements about your funding became more complex. Management committees began to think, what? Am I responsible?
Insurance?
Yes, insurance, occupational health and safety. The way you had to employ accountants to do the books, and certainly some houses got more money, but you know, many were operating on very little money.
And a lot of goodwill.
A lot of goodwill. So anyway, the world was changing, and the same things were still happening now. Maybe there were two people in the household working, there were two people dashing off out of the neighbourhood. Really, did they have time to come at night and to be bowed down with the responsibility of, oh, our part-time staff member fell over and, you know, what's going to happen to us all now, etc. So gradually I've seen that change to saying they've become more council-based. And there were pluses and minuses about that, you know, as in all things. But where you have them, and which was wonderful for Sturt Street, where in 2005 the council set up a community centre, was that it became a real focus of interest, and locals really used it, and locals who thought that nothing was in their area. I'm not saying there were no shops or whatever, but in terms of services provided, be it by state or council, really, that was not there. And also what was going was, I used to hear stories of that there was a butcher here on Gilbert Street that if you wanted to know anything, that's where you went. There's then earlier stories I finally tuned into where Cystic Fibrosis is now on the corner of Sturt and whatever. That, for a long time, you know, we're going back to the 50s, was a shoemaker. And people would talk about that they would just go there and sit on his three stools and gossip for a while and then move on.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, you know. So there were places within the southwest that became known as, you know, that's where you go for your information. But they moved on. They disappeared because life changed. The post office at some stage was a very good mecca. Mm. But again, the way life goes. So the community centre really filled what was an important gap. Whilst a relatively small venue, you still could have a lot of people in there. There was a standard thing. If you were standing up, you could have 50 people. Mm-hmm. And if they were there for a short time, you could have, you know, maybe 70 people if they weren't going to be there for long enough. How many toilets you had, how many exits, you know, there's a whole range of safety measures to say you can deal with a premise with that many people. Anyway, it's been an absolute asset, not only for the individuals and the groups who use it, but for the local businesses. That's been great.
Did the one in Hutt Street start around the same time?
Yes, well, that came slightly differently. So originally there was the box factory, and that was going for quite a number of years. I'm trying to think when it ceased. It ceased operating, I think, sometime in the 80s, because I had something to do with them in another capacity of who I was working for. And for the people who went to the box factory, it was terrific. They loved it. But for the management committee, it got increasingly more challenging as they needed to account for you know, what they were doing both to the state government and to the council. At least when I spoke with them, a bit low on volunteer commitment. And yet what was happening there was satisfying those people. Mm. They just didn't want to take more responsibility. And so then council had a review made by, you know, some independent body. And I think from a council point of view, they happily said, look, they are honest. It's just that they're getting into difficulty because there is so much for them to do. So then council felt that they could say, well, we withdraw from this because it's not good use or appropriate use of our funds, and the state government pulled out. So it closed, which was very difficult for the people who were using it.
Mm.
And they weren't necessarily the people who lived immediately around it, because they were certainly not the people who lobbied for it to come back. In the southwest, everything was done, I think, as a groundswell of locals for whatever they ever got. I think the southeast works slightly differently. There were people who knew who was who. And so when the southwest was set up and it was clear that it was working, people in the southeast remembered, well, we used to have a centre. Yeah. And so,
yeah.
You know.
So it happened as a direct result of that?
Yeah,
mm.
Yeah,
mm.
Yeah.
And because the North Adelaide's always had community centre, hasn't it?
No. It's a couple of years older than the South West.
Okay.
And it came about, again, these are all interesting stories of how community works. The council has this lovely building in North Adelaide, and I don't remember clearly the issues around it, but they wanted it to be used. But how could it be used? And it is an old building and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they actually put it out to consultation, to say to the community, is there anyone out there either with ideas of how to use it or that they could use it in some way, you know, what will it be? And Susan Clearahan was a mainstay, she was a teacher at the time, of pushing for it to become a community centre. And that ultimately happened, and she ultimately went on council and was there for a long time. And maybe she was on council and realised this was a good opportunity. Anyway, so that centre has been there certainly for the longest continuing period. Yeah, yeah.
So I'd argue that the people that live in the southwest, although people aren't different, but the communities are quite different between the southwest, the east and the north.
Even, you know, the west side of Morford and the east side of Morford. Even if it's at the simple level of the west side of Morford has to move through the east side to get to everything
to
else.
To get
in
anywhere,
the
yeah. So community centres have proven to be really important, haven't they, for people?
They have.